Welcome to Out Loud with Gianno Caldwell. Thank you for joining me this week. I want to share with you something that's extraordinarily personal to me. This conversation, I believe, is the most impactful discussion that I could ever have on this podcast. We will be discussing, me and my guest, the ugliest word in the English language. I would argue this is the ugliest word in any language. That is the N-word. You may have used this word yourself. You may have friends that have used it. You may be a Caucasian American who have used it in rap lyrics. You just repeated the lyrics. No big deal, right? You may be an African American who uses this figuratively in a form of love. You think there's nothing wrong with it. But let's be clear. There's something very wrong with this word. Even if you're using it in rap lyrics, even if you're using it as a sense of love, even if you're African American and you're a descendant of slave, there's no right time, no matter who you are, to use this word. I want you to listen to this audio, which I think is very important. It's a conversation between rapper Jay-Z and Oprah Winfrey, and he talks about his rebranding of the N-word. Take a listen.
Not being a big fan of rap music because of misogynist lyrics and because of the use of the N-word. You obviously feel differently. And
a little bit.
A little bit. A little bit. And tell everybody why.
What we discuss is more of words. People give words power.
Yeah.
You know, and for our generation, what we did was we took the word and we took the power out of that word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we turned a word that was very ugly and hurtful into a term of endearment. So, I mean, even when someone says it, there's still intention behind what you say.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty much took the power out of the word. Because if we just start removing words from the dictionary, just make up another word the next day. So we don't address the problem. The problem is racism, right? That's really the problem.
You know, Jay-Z, I've enjoyed your music, absolutely. But I wholeheartedly disagree with you. I disagree with many figures within the black community, within cultural communities, who believe the usage of this word is okay. If we want to be honest about it, and for people who may not even know the history of the word, it was the summer of 1619 when a ship arrived in the port of Virginia carrying around 20 Africans who were chained up to be sold as slaves. It was the first documented arrival of slaves in the U.S., and Africans were referred to using the Spanish and Portuguese words for black, which was the N-word. You know, and I have to be honest, and I'm personally ashamed that I'm even admitting to this, but I have to be honest as we have this dialogue. I've used the N-word. I grew up in a household where the use of the N-word was permitted. I grew up extremely poor on the south side of Chicago. I've had experiences with friends where we thought, hey, let's collaborate, let's talk, let's share in love, and we'll use the N-word to show that we like each other, that we respect each other. We tried to do this rebranding thing as Jay-Z just mentioned. It was flawed. It's a lie. It's something that we should never do. And I'll be honest with you. I had a situation when I was a young teenager, a store in Chicago. It was a Von Dutch store where I went in and had a conversation with the individual who worked there. I talk about this in my book, Taken for Granted, How Conservatism Can Win Back the Americans That Liberalism Failed. This individual who managed the store said, get out of here, N-word. And he chased me out of the store. And it wasn't that I was doing something wrong. I was just looking at the merchandise. But that was the first time that I really felt the anger, the hate from that word. But yet and still, I used the word. Why? Because society said it was okay. Hip hop culture said it was okay. But I want to say that it is not okay. You can't say Black Lives Matter and still use that word. Why? Because the word is still filled with hate no matter how much you brand it. And I'm going to tell you, you're empowering racism and races by using this word. And I'm talking to every rapper, every cultural influencer, politician, business person, white American, Asian American, Latino American, Indian American, and yes, every black person. If you use the N-word, stop now. Yes, I'm talking to you, Cardi B. I'm talking to you, Jay-Z. I'm talking to you, Killer Mike. I'm talking to you, Kanye West, who I'm a big fan of. I'm talking to you, Big Pun. I'm talking to you, Charlamagne Tha God. I'm talking to you, Dave Chappelle. I'm talking to you, Nicki Minaj. I'm talking to you, Drake, Beyonce, Colin Kaepernick, Joe Biden even, who's used the word in Congress. This is never appropriate. Absolutely not. You can never say Black Lives Matter when you're disenfranchising Black lives by using the N-word. And that's important for everyone to walk away with. There's never an appropriate time to use it. So stop now. Take a listen to this very important conversation that I have with the billionaire founder of Papa John's. It's one that you will certainly want to share with your families and listen to throughout the week. This is Out Loud with Gianno Caldwell. John Schneider, welcome to Out Loud with Gianno Caldwell. How are you doing today?
Good, Gianno. Thanks for having me.
No, it is honestly a pleasure to be able to have an open, honest dialogue on all things considered in this episode. I want to begin by asking you about your resignation from Papa John's, which, of course, you founded and became a billionaire by way of. Back in 2018, when you were the chairman of the company, you were on a conference call receiving public relations training from an outside marketing firm called Laundry Service. While doing a role-playing exercise to prevent future PR issues, you reportedly said Colonel Sanders called blacks in the N-word. It was the full word, I believe, before complaining that Sanders never faced public backlash. Can you go back to that day? What exactly happened and what were you thinking at the time?
Well, the comment was made and taken out of the media in context and contrast. You kind of just did it yourself. Colonel Sanders calls black people the N-word. I never used the word. Twofold. One is, I never used the word. It's not in our vocabulary, as we'll talk about a little bit later. I don't want it in the vocabulary with regards to me, with regards to the media. The second thing is, Gianno, is the contrast. There's certain no's. You know, there's no, there's hell no, and there's no way, and there's no. And in this case, it was, hey, people are using this word. Don't use the word. I never used the word.
Okay, so are you saying that N-word, the N-I-G-G-A or N-I-G-G-E-R, you never used the actual word? You said N-word. So N letter, W-O-R-D. That's what you said on the conference call. Is that what you're saying?
No. I say Colonel Sanders uses the word quite frequently. I didn't understand why they would pay me in the same genre when I use the word debacle. That's the word I really was referring to. If you read, again, you did the same thing the rest of the media is doing. You're taking it out of context. I said, Colonel Sanders calls black people the N-word. I never used that word. What I don't understand is he uses the word. I use the word debacle, and I get thrown in the same genre. Again, Gianno, it was a contrast, and it was taken out of context. Just like you did. You've done it twice now in one call.
Well, no. I want to understand, because I haven't heard any tape, and apparently there's not been a tape published, to my knowledge, of the actual conversation. Therefore, I'm trying to understand, because I'm not going to use the word, just like you're not going to use the word, if this was, hey, Colonel Sanders called black people N-words. Okay, that's one way of describing it versus, yeah, Colonel Sanders called black people N-I-G-G-A. That would be a distinction. So that's what I'm trying to understand here, if you actually used the word or you said N-word. That's what I'm trying to ascertain in this moment.
Well, there's a transcript out there that is the latter, to your point. And the word is in some places is still prevalent, which is runs total contradictory to everything that I believe for and is in my vocabulary. So again, Colonel Sanders used the word, used it frequently, and I never used that word and still don't use the word, Gianno.
Okay. So in essence, you're saying you don't use the word in your daily life. You use the word as an example, providing context to what Colonel Sanders did and never received backlash for, but I'm still confused as to if you use the word to just provide the context. So if you're saying, hey, Colonel Sanders used the, Let's use it, for example, if it was the B word. Colonel Sanders used the B word, or Colonel Sanders said bitch. There's a difference between both of them, and they'll probably mute that out. But there's a big difference between both of those, and I'm really trying to understand that. I wish I saw the transcript beforehand so I know, but there's been a lot of conversation. But we'll move on. Let me ask you this question. You said in an interview that it took you 20 months to get that word out of your vocabulary. What did you mean by that?
No. What I said in the interview, again, you take it, this will be the third time you've taken it out of context. If you look at what I said through the rest of that comment is it's all false. What I was saying is the media needs to take the vocabulary out of anything that I would say with regards to me. The words were misconstrued. But again, that doesn't bother me when you guys, because you all need clicks and you need things that are provocative. I have no problem with the media printing if I do misconstrue something, even though it's real clear what I meant. The problem I have with you guys is when I do say something that is truthful. For example, you've done it three times. You take things out of context where, hey, Colonel Sanders calls black people the N-word. I never used the word. I'm confused why we're confusing debacle with the N-word and having all this negative publicity.
Okay. So in other words, you never use the N-word. You use the word debacle instead.
No. I said Colonel Sanders uses the N-word. I said, I never use that word. And I don't use that word. And I didn't before this instance, and I don't that. I haven't since. What I was referring to is for some reason we got stirred up in a situation that was divisive with regards to race on the word debacle. I use the word debacle in the context of my guy's Goodell, Roger Goodell, the commissioner in the NFL. let's get our act together here. We have to solve this to the owners' and players' satisfaction. That's your job. And up till now, it's been a total debacle.
I want to pick up from there in a moment, but first, let's go to break. Let me ask you this very direct question. Have you ever, in any context, used the word N-I-G-G-A or N-I-G-G-E-R in any context ever?
Well, you hate to use the word ever or never or absolute. I can't ever remember even making an off-colored joke with that word. So, I'd like to say unequivocally no. I think it's unequivocally no because of the word very offending. I was raised that way. I was raised in a household where everybody was treated with love and kindness and mutual respect. And regardless of their gender or their nationality or the color of their skin. And so that word was just off limits, and that was the way I was raised. And I'm thinking, you kind of caught me on the spot here. I never heard my parents or grandparents use that word, so it just wasn't part of our vocabulary.
Okay, so I want to just make sure that I'm understanding you. You don't believe that you've ever used the word before. You don't recall ever using the word before, but it's possible that you might have.
Oh, I mean, in 59 years, I mean, there's a lot of things possible. One thing's for sure, the use of the word I do find offensive for absolutely. And it definitely is not part of my vocabulary, never has been and never will be.
Okay. So what have you learned since this? Because I'm imagining when the reporting, and I know you said that it's inaccurate, when the reporting came out suggesting that you did use the word, that's what was suggested via many media outlets. What happened then? Did you get friends? Because I know you're a celebrity, you're a billionaire. You have a lot of, I'm sure, wealthy black friends that may have contacted you. Did anyone reach out, Oprah Winfrey or anyone, say, hey, I just want to talk to you about this and understand what happened? Did you get any calls like that?
I got total support from the black community, whether it's Reverend Elliott, Reverend Cosby, Reverend Tolbert, one of our chief executive officers was head of operations, Simon Smith, been with us 14 years, a personal friend. He was total supportive. Of course, My friends that I grew up with that are of color, they were supportive. My dearest friends, Nick Smith of 24, 25 years, nobody turned on me. Nobody believed it. And that's probably the blessing from God in all this is the public never bought it. They just didn't buy something, didn't add up here. You know, people are smart. I mean, they really, they see through things. And I think they saw this for what it was, and it was a setup.
Do you have any friends and I know you said your grandparents and your parents, you never heard them use it, but do you have any friends, whether they be black, white, or indifferent, that have used the word around you?
Well, if they did, then they weren't friends for very long, and I got out of the room quickly.
No, I appreciate that. I think what has happened in certain situations, and I'm adamantly against the use of the N-word. And I'll tell you, I grew up extremely poor on the south side of Chicago, where every member of my family used the word for the most part, friends, family. It was one thing that we did and one thing that I'm ashamed to say that I did frequently. But as I've educated myself since then, when I'm around people who use it, no matter what color they are, black, white, Hispanic, it makes no difference. I ask them to not use the word, especially around me. So since you've had these experiences, have you been in those environments?
Maybe once or twice. But again, if that word comes out, I do one or two things. Hey, don't ever use that word around me. That was before this happened. Or two is I just leave immediately. But the word's not going to be tolerated, with me, my friends, or people I associate with. And, that's the truth.
Let's, move into this investigation that was commissioned by your lawyers that argue that your use of the slur was not racist because you also expressed disdain for racism on the call Do you understand why people kind of took it in the direction that they did in terms of believing that you used the N-word?
Well, of course, when you have Forbes, we'll pick on Forbes magazine for a second. Forbes never gave me the courtesy that you just gave me. At least you heard me out. Now, whether you agree with me or not, I don't know. And we'll agree to disagree. Forbes just ran with it without fact checking. Took it out of context, didn't emphasize the contrast. Once they put that headline out, then it was a media frenzy and nobody checked the facts. So, and you have a board of directors that basically wanted to steal my company. So this was a perfect excuse to get rid of John. So you have a board of directors in a company that they never came out and said that I was a racist because they know it's not true. They never came out and said anything of the sort that did not say, hey, that's not what he said, by all means. We wouldn't tolerate that. We've been on the John's board for some of them 18 years. We are very strong as a company in our culture with diversity and upholding and respecting everybody's rights and their dignity and try to treat them with kindness and love. You take that and you put it on top of it. Forbes puts a salacious headline by misguiding. By misguiding exactly what I was said and taking things out of contrast. It made it sound like something it wasn't, because what I said was actually the point I was making was anti-racist. Don't do this, for God's sake. Don't use the word, because I never use the word as a leader. So I understand exactly how the public could understand and feel the way they felt, because they were misled. The media misled them, laundry service misled them, and Papa John's board of directors misled them.
And I'm looking at the transcript here, and it reads, quote, "What bothers me is Colonel Sanders called blacks," and it says N and is da 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 S. I'm like, I never use that word, and they get away with it. And we use the word debacle and we get framed for the same genre. So that is to be at least what's in the transcript there, which it doesn't spell it out. So I can only take your word for it in terms of what you said. You were on the conversation. There's no audio of it, to my knowledge, that's out there at this moment. So We'll take your word for it. But let me ask you this question. Is there any scenario at all where it's appropriate in your mind to use the N-word?
No, I didn't believe it was appropriate 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And I think it's even more emphasized today that, you know, you just can't use the word. I've always thought it's just not a healthy word for anybody. I think it's negative. I think it's hurtful. And I think, you know, that it should be out of everybody's vocabulary. As we talked about, I wish more folks stood up like you're standing up and just said, hey, you know, whatever your community, whatever your color skin is, let's don't use the word.
Now, since you have this major platform, your major voice, everybody knows Papa John's. Everyone knows the commercials. We've all seen the red shirts. We've enjoyed the pizza that you created and you're the founder of. Now that you have this platform where people at least believe that you've used the word, you've apologized for at least the perception of it. What is it you intend to do to create greater clarity that your white brothers and sisters or your friends and your family and whoever else, people you don't know who may use the word gratuitously, obviously, just using it. Is there anything that you're looking to create a platform to say, hey, no, this is wrong, so people can be educated and not use it in their daily lives? Because what I see on a consistent basis, especially when it comes to rap music has conditioned younger white folks to use the word gratuitously and just use it all over the place. Is there anything that you're looking to do or you want to do to provide some education around the subject matter?
Great question, Gianno. And I think a couple things really positive have come out of this. One is when you have adversity, and especially when you have adversity flicked on you by people that know that it's a false narrative and know it's not true, that you really care about, it strips you down to the essentials of your character, your dignity, and, you know, your daily life. And so this whole, all this done is strip me back to where I started in a broom closet when, you know, when I was broke. It just take me back to the basics. And that was the fundamentals that my mom and my dad, my grandfather taught me. The thing that I want to get out of this is I don't want this to happen to anybody ever again. Nobody should have to endure this kind of false narrative. You know, if they say they we'll use a hypothetical, say they have a cocaine issue and they admit they have a cocaine issue, you know, they can go get help. And this situation with the cancel culture and the media persecuting folks like me that are wealthy, successful, and somewhat conservative, we're going to get targeted. And that's not right. So if I could cancel culture, if we could use this as a platform, so what happened to me doesn't happen to anybody else in their lifetime, that would be really turning lemons into lemonade.
And you say use this as a platform, which is great, because I really wanted to have this discussion before this even came up with you. For reasons that I think it should be eliminated from everyone's vocabulary. I wanted to ask, though, do you have anything you're formalizing, anything that you're really looking to push, you're looking to educate people on just beyond social media and maybe doing interviews? Are you looking to formulate anything in that regard?
Yeah, I think you've really got to look at what's the best for humanity. That's the beautiful thing about running Papa John's is, the happiest days of my career there were when people got raises, they got promotions, they were doing real well. I love to see other people do well in life. And I think to make other people's lives better is really a personal mission of mine. So my four goals are, I got to really look at my soul, what's important to me. It's got to be good for humanity. It's got to make other people's lives better. And it's got to be scalable. I like to do things on a big time basis. And it's got to be something that is sustainable financially. You don't want to run out of money in 6 months or 12 months or 18 months if you're trying to do an initiative. So those four goals are something that are very important to me. And most important is doing something that really helps humanity. I feel like at Papa John's, you know, we were bringing friends and family together. You know, it was a celebratory kind of situation where people celebrated with a pizza and they got together, and that really touched my heart. The last 14 months along that same lines of thinking is we've been so involved with COVID and small businesses and just doing what little we could do to help them, you know, stay on life support. So our goal coming out of COVID is going to shift from more of a, okay, what can we do for small businesses? We'll still keep programs alive. We'll still do educational things. We'll still give insight. We'll still give advice and hope to help the small business men and women, because they're the heartbeat of the entire country. And then we'll turn to how do we cancel culture? These people that run cancel culture, Gianna, to your point, I mean, they're evil. I mean, they're cruel. I mean, they do hateful things to other human beings that really is an injustice. If somebody was going around and just stabbing people with a knife, they would be in jail because they're hurting other people with their actions. And cancel culture hurts people. Again, it's psychopathic. It's sociopathic. It's sick. And they, you know, sit on their computers and they make things up and they twist and they turn and they take things out of context. And before you know it, they destroy somebody that's a good person. And that's just wrong. And if we could have a little influence to make media, in this case, we'll go back and pick on Forbes again. If Forbes would have just done their homework, if Papa John's would have just done a proper investigation, they'd have come up with what Louis Free came up with. And then we could have had the dialogue that you and I are having, which is, okay, he was using it in the context of, he never uses a word. Nobody's used the word. Let's stop using the word as a society. And I know you stand for that.
Absolutely. I do stand for that. And since you mentioned cancel culture, I want to ask you, do you believe a person should be canceled for using the N-word?
Depends on the context. I mean, when somebody says, okay, he or she used a racial slur, you know, what's the racial slur? Give me the exact words. And B is, what's the intent? What's the intent? And to me, if it's a racial slur, it's got a negative intent. When you and I are having the conversation we're having, we have a positive intent. We want people to stop using the word, just like I said, hey, I never use the word. What's going on here? So, you know, the cancel culture is problematic because it jumps on a partial truth or a half truth or a mistruth, and it destroys people. Now, there's some cases where people actually do wrong. And in that case, I think they need to take the hit and let the chips lie where they lie. The truth is the truth. As I told you earlier in the conversation, they quoted what I said when I misconstrued the media using the vocabulary with regards to me with the word my versus, you know, mine. That's okay, because I said it. So let me either correct it or explain, or if you'll look in the next sentence, because it was just false. But, you know, I said it, so I have to explain it or apologize for it or correct the record. It's the problem with the media is when they twist and they turn and it's not truthful, like they did with the President Trump in Georgia. You know, they went all out and said, you know, he said what he said. You know, he got murdered for it. It comes to be, they had a tape and he didn't say that. And then, by the way, this was a week or so before elections. Well, that's just not right for the media to completely fabricate something and hurt the president and hurt the outcome of the election in Georgia.
No, and I understand that point of view completely. And just to recount what you just said right now, and you and I have not actually used the word in this conversation. I've spelled out the word, the two different versions of it. The one, some black folks think is acceptable for rap music, which I disagree. And others that has been used in the form of real strong hate. It comes by way of slavery. When the first slaves came over into the country, this is what the Portuguese used to describe them as being black. Those are much different distinctions there. But in terms of a person actually being canceled due to using that word, a person, and I understand you're saying people with nefarious intent. I get it. I understand that. So someone who's legitimately being racist. I had an experience years ago when I was a teenager. I was in a store called Von Dutch and I was looking at some of the merchandising, and the supervisor came and he said, "Get out of here, N-word." He didn't want me in his store, and he really ran me out of the store. That obviously is a very sinister use of the word, but I think any use of the word is completely sinister, no matter who's using it. So in your estimation here, if a person uses it, white, black, whatever, and cancel culture comes for them, they're on tape using the word or whatever the case is, do you believe that person should be canceled?
Well, again, back to the being consistent and not being hypocritical and being truthful. As you know, Cuomo used the word. Joe Biden used the word three or four times in Congress, referring to a black. So, and they weren't canceled. Should they have been canceled? I think that's for the public to judge. Should they have said what they said? Absolutely not. But as you can see, there's a prejudice. There's a bias. The hypocrisy that I'm in a training session that says don't use the word because I never used the word. That was the point. That was the intent. Joe Biden blates it out, and all of a sudden everybody forgets it. And Cuomo blates it out on national radio and TV. I think it was a radio interview Biden on TV, and with no repercussions. So you see the stark contrast between way one person is treated and the way the other people get treated.
Now I want to go to Papa John's here. Shaquille O'Neal is essentially the face of Papa John's now. Do you agree with having this athlete promote your company? Does it make sense? He's obviously this incredible black athlete that's been around forever. I'm not sure if he was a part of the company while you were there or if he came afterwards. How do you feel about this?
I think the timing with Shaquille is excellent because of the environment we're in. I don't get the demographics and the feedback on how the public feels about this. So I'm really not qualified to say. I think he's well known. I think he's established. I think he does a lot of brands, and that may be a little bit confusing. But I think the proof's in the pudding with regards to Papa John's. Let's look at what happens to sales when COVID goes off. You know, when COVID shuts down or dissipates, let's see what happens. And then I think that would be a fair barometer whether he's the right or wrong spokesperson for Papa John's. My issue with Shaquille sits on this board. And the board of directors at Papa John's, they know exactly what they did. They have the transcript. They now have the tapes. It's plain as day. It's simple that the laundry service set me up. And Shaquille is going along with the farce. I know he's a big guy. I think he's 7'1" and 300 pounds. But when you watch somebody steal a man's company and they do it, they use race to do it, and you stand by that, I'm not sure that's a real man.
Do you believe he's being used as a prop?
The word I use in the interviews I do is I think that Papa John's board of directors is using Shaquille as an instrument to cover up the dirty deeds they did. The most unfathomable thing, Gianno, about this whole thing is that Papa John's board of directors and executive use the black man, use the black woman, use race to steal the company. That's unfathomable. Got away with it.
Is it right to say that they're using a form of racism and propping up someone to steal your company?
That would be my point of view.
That's, in fact, really interesting. Let's continue from there in a moment after a quick break. Now, let me ask you this question, because you've accused Laundry Service, the marketing agency, on the 2018 call of conspiring against you. In fact, you filed a federal lawsuit against the firm alleging they began discussing how to ruin your public image immediately after the call. Can you tell us more about what you're accusing Laundry Services of? And do you blame Papa John's at all for what happened? And I think you just really did.
Well, yeah, we'll get to Papa John's. We see there's two tapes. There's the tape that the magistrate in Delaware saw, the court saw in Delaware. Under Delaware law, he's the one who presided over this. He saw one tape. That has the training session. By the way, we had a training session for 45 minutes, you know, and they didn't make one suggestion or one comment on anything I said. In other words, it's a training session with no feedback. So it's really not a training session. It's a bait session. It's, you know, how can we bait him into saying something? And if he does say something sort of wrong, we'll do what they did, is we'll just give half truth or partial data and we'll run it to forwards and make it sound like he said something he didn't say. The problem for lottery service now is there's 5 or 6 minutes after the call, the training call. And by the way, all celebrities, everybody that goes on news, as you all know, has training. You know, the public doesn't realize that. They just think you just show up and you do an interview. You have to know what you're going to talk about. You have to, you know, especially when you're dealing with something as sensitive right now in our environment and our society with race. And so here we have a so-called training session, which actually was supposed to be a brand session. They switched at the last minute trying to trip me up in order to get me to say something that I would say so they could tape it and hurt me with it with no coaching. The last 6 minutes of the tape, which is the second tape, which the magistrate Burchard has not seen that tape, it's clear. We hope John gets sent out to effing pasture. We'll make sure he doesn't have a job or work by Sunday. Let's set him up with we have a gentleman, Daryl Revelle, I think that's the name, that's we got him on the sidelines. We'll take this viral. We'll hurt this guy. So the ill intent and what they expressed on the tape, frankly, is shocking and it's chilling. Here's how bizarre this is. We hired an agency. We paid them $8 million that year. They are paid to enhance the reputation, to make me actually look in the true light I am, when behind the scenes, they're taping the conversation, they're setting it up, they're surprising, they're trying to provoke me, and all along, they had ill intent. They did a complete 180 of what they were hired to do to help me and actually did everything they could to hurt me. Now, with regards to Papa John's, the question for the House is, was Papa John's actively complicit in the setup or were they passively complicit? I don't have the answer to that right now. The way their behavior is, I think they were part of this. At least a couple of the directors were part of this. And if that's the case, in other words, if the board of directors intentionally set the spokesperson, the founder, and the chairman of the board up on a false narrative with regards to race and never explained that and divulged that to Wall Street, I think they have personal culpability. So, yes, I think Papa John's is extremely vulnerable here, and I think they're guilty.
Wow. Do you ever plan on getting your company back? Is there a way forward for that?
Well, we talked about a higher power, and you know, things always happen for a reason, and the universe is aligned and everything, you know, things always, you know, are perfect. And so, I mean, if I was going to take a break for Papa John's, what a nice time to take a break this last 2 years. I mean, with COVID, I mean, you're in the restaurant business and you're dealing with something as contagious and infectious as COVID-19, and you're trying to run a restaurant company and you're trying to get the people to work and you're trying to get that, you know, the pizza out the door made right. So we'll see. I'm going to leave it as an option. After COVID dissipates, we'll find out how Papa John's does, see if they can stand on their own 2 feet. But frankly, I've really enjoyed the last 2 years. I was really running Papa John's for 34, off and on for 34 years. You're on a hamster wheel, as you know, it's brutal. And it takes you away from things that are really important, you know, like, you know, taking good care of yourself and taking good care of your kids. And in my case, grandkids, getting to spend more time with quality friends, quality family, and, you know, doing little things like we talked about, helping the entrepreneurs with COVID relief and doing videos on, hey, you know, how do you get through this as an entrepreneur? So I think it's been a great 2-year hiatus, and I'll keep all my options open moving forward. And that includes Papa John's.
Before I let you go, if you wouldn't mind, what are 2 or 3 most important bits of advice you'd be willing to give young entrepreneurs looking to start their own companies?
Don't give up. Don't ever give up. When somebody tells you it's a dumb idea, and then know you're onto something. When people tell you you can't do it, you know you're onto something. An unsuccessful entrepreneur, he'll hears no 400 times, and he says, okay, the answer is no. A guy like you and I that are successful entrepreneurs, we hear no 400 times, and we know the answer is yes. So don't give up. Last but not least, keep the attitude positive. I mean, we're in a very tough time. Our country's in a very tough time. And attitudes are emotions, and emotions are infectious. They're contagious. And wake up every day, smile, thank God for another day. Go out there, be honest, do your best, and things will come out the other side in a great place.
Well, John, I want to thank you so much for spending this time. I hope that the folks who listen into this will get something out of it, and I'm hoping we can really and truly move this country forward, and I appreciate the time that you've allotted for us here at Out Loud with Gianno Caldwell, and I want to wish you well in everything that you're doing, especially as you move forward with your lawsuits and giving people the context in which you've had the conversation over that conference call. So I appreciate the time you spent with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and I wish you and your audience all the best. God bless.
Thanks to John Schnatter for an intriguing interview. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a review and rate us with 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. If you have any questions for me, please email me at outloud@gingrich360.com and I'll try to answer them in our future episodes. And please sign up for my monthly newsletter at gingrich360.com/outloud. You can also find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Parler at Gianno Caldwell. And if you're interested in learning more about my story, please pick up a copy of my best-selling book titled Taken for Granted: How Conservatism Can Win Back the Americans That Liberalism Failed. Special thanks to our producer, John Cassio, researcher, Aaron Klingman, and executive producers, Debbie Myers, and of course, Speaker Newt Gingrich, all part of the Gingrich 360 Network.